County, prepared by Edward F. Johnston of the University of Maine, a native of Easton and Fort Fairfield. A few years ago, a gentleman visiting the state of Maine for the first time spent a night in Caribou. Commenting about this day, he said, "Conversation on the street was all of one thing, the past, present, and future of potatoes." This topic has dominated conversation in Aroostook County for many years, and quite probably will continue to do so for some time to come. Quoting the late Charlie Fisher of Fort Fairfield, "Here in Aroostook, it's mainly all potatoes. We buy land and borrow money to grow potatoes. Then we grow potatoes to pay back the money and buy more land. We build big houses and sheds to store potatoes in. Then we got to grow a mighty lot of potatoes to fill up the storage. We eat potatoes, work potatoes, thrive, flourish, and starve on them." The potato in Aroostook is well over 150 years old, being first planted in this county over 50 years after the Scotch-Irish brought potatoes to the state of Maine about 1750. As near as can be determined, Joseph Holton, for whom the town was named, planted the first potato in Aroostook County, then included in the counties of Penobscot and Washington, in June of 1807. The variety was known as Early Blue or Blue Nose. From then until several years later, potatoes were grown in Aroostook only as a garden product. They were planted in the new land among the stumps and logs. The custom was to begin chopping down trees in the winter, burn the land over in May or June, and then plant the seed wherever a bit of ground could be seen and enough ashes, earth, and refuse could be hoed together to make a suitable hill. Potatoes were grown in all counties in Maine and grew quite well throughout the entire state. Quoting from a paper given in 1869 by Samuel Wesson of Ellsworth, Hancock County representative to the Maine Board of Agriculture, in 1840, the aggregate number of bushels of potatoes exceeded 10 million. In 1843, the rot made its advent with such widespread malignity as to cause general alarm that the potato was to be swept from the face of the earth and become extinct. Although the malady somewhat subsided after a few years' run, a decade or more years were required to allay the panic and restore confidence. In 1860, the crop was computed at 6,400,000 bushels for the state, convincing that something had been learned of the nature of the disease and the preventatives, one or both. The valley of the Penobscot was the leading potato producing area of the state during this era. In Aroostook, residents discovered that shingle making was a money making reason for clearing land. And as more trees were felled and more settlements established, more and more potatoes were grown. Aroostook became a promising region in which to plant potatoes for the manufacture of potato starch, which was in great demand by textile manufacturers. Potatoes had been first grown in Aroostook for home consumption and livestock feeding and for bartering. The chief market for Aroostook agricultural products was found in the lumber camp operations. Potato production increased somewhat with the opening of the road known as the Military Road between Holton and Bangor in 1832. Later, this road was extended to Presque Isle and Ashland. Still, potato production rated behind oats and buckwheat for many years, partially because of the bounty given for raising buckwheat. By 1850, about 86,500 bushels were reported grown in this county, and in 1860, Aroostook's 411,600 bushels comprised about 6.5% of the state's total production. In 1860, a prophecy in the Maine Farmer was, of all the places in Maine where potatoes will pay best, Aroostook will excel as soon as it shall have railroads. In 1871, the railroads came. Rail lines were extended from Debeck Junction in New Brunswick into Holton. And in 1875, the New Brunswick Railroad Company constructed a narrow gauge spur from Aroostook Junction to the United States boundary. With the Aroostook River Railroad Company constructing an extension from the boundary into Fort Fairfield. The next year, the line was continued up along the river as far as Caribou. Extension of this line from Caribou into Presque Isle occurred in 1881. In 1880, 2,248,600 bushels were raised in Aroostook, about 28% of that reported for the whole state. With the railroad came an increase in the number of starch factories. The first factory had been started before the railroad came. Alba Holmes made over an unused woolen mill at Caribou to manufacture starch in 1871. And in 1874, a man by the name of Wheeler from New Hampshire built a factory at Presque Isle. In the early days of the starch factories, farmers contracted a certain number of acres with the factory owner. The potatoes to be bought at the factory at 25 cents per bushel. Potato production became increasingly more commercialized and a few table stock shipments were made. In 1883, from accounts of the Fort Fairfield Customs House, shipments from the Aroostook River area included 2,692 tons of starch, to make which required the consumption of 670,500 bushel of potatoes, and of 341,355 bushels of whole potatoes. The potato acreage in 1890, double that of 1880, was estimated at 28,000 acres, with a production of 5 million bushels, of which over 1.5 million was manufactured into starch in the 42 factories which had been erected in the county. The maintenance of soil fertility was of leading importance among cultural practices. The $64 question of the day was, are we not sending off the fertility of our soil with the potatoes? Sections of Maine other than Aroostook, which had started the production of starch as a specialty, found themselves unable to maintain the fertility of their soil, and the result was soil bankruptcy. This was in part due to the fact that the resources of their soil, in the way of fertility, were more limited than the loams of Aroostook, and that the rotation of crop system, which very early came into vogue in Aroostook, was not practiced there. The representative of Waldo County to the Board of Agriculture commented in 1874, potato culture, from the time the seed is taken from the cellar, is hard, dirty, disagreeable, and laborious. It has but few redeeming features. It rapidly exhausts land unless highly manured, which militates against their soundness, as thousands and thousands of acres in Waldo County bear solemn witness. We believe the true policy is never to sell off any potatoes and raise only enough for use on the farm. Other crops can be grown that require less labor at greater profit, and we should look into other sources for a market product other than the potato field. But in Aroostook, the garden county, the thought of using commercial fertilizers was considered somewhat absurd. Potato raising was considered well adapted to Aroostook for three reasons in the main. One, the comparative newness of the soil overlying our calcareous riches. Two, the general absence of surface stones in these towns, thus allowing large smooth fields where all machinery can be worked with advantage. And three, the present fashion in the trade, which calls for Aroostook potatoes and pays more money for them than any others. However, by 1880, soil fertility was commencing to be of concern to Aroostook farmers also. Edward Wigan of Maysville, which in 1883 became the northern half of Presque Isle, had this to say: "While the starch factories have undoubtedly been a great benefit to the farmers in the past, and the raising of potatoes may still, to a limited extent, be profitably carried on without danger to the soil, yet if various farmers persist in raising large breadths of potatoes, growing the same fields again and again with their crop without the application of manure, it requires no prophet's kin to predict with certainty the ultimate exhaustion of their farms, and that at no distant date." Walter Ballantyne, the professor of agriculture at Orono, added, "A few years ago, Aroostook County was believed by many to furnish a practically inexhaustible soil. But the bountiful crops of potatoes, oats, and wheat taken from these new lands have made such a draft on their native fertility that many of our farmers are fain to supply deficiencies by the use of commercial fertilizers." The progressive farmers began to use commercial fertilizers. Francis Barnes of Holton, Southern Aroostook representative to the Maine Board of Agriculture, remarked, "It's the money we are after. I calculate that if we are using fertilizer freely, that we are not exhausting the soil." Yields in Aroostook began to increase. In 1858, a prize had been given at the exposition in Presque Isle to Varanus Chandler of Fort Fairfield, who grew 250 bushels on an acre. However, the average for the state of Maine in 1872 was only 125 bushels, second to Vermont's 140 bushels. In 1886, Barnes reported, "The crop was remarkably good in all respects. One of our best men stated to me that on 10 acres of land, he harvested as good a crop as he had ever, and he took to his depot at digging time 50 barrels to the acre right through. The cows for the factory were just about the same in number of barrels. 100 barrels to the acre, 2¾ bushel to the barrel, 275 bushels, a good yield." In the contest for the American Agriculturist Prize in 1889 for the best acre of potatoes open to all America, three of the five largest yields were raised in Aroostook County. The yields on these acres were as follows. First prize, Charles B. Coy, Presque Isle, 738 bushels. Third prize, Fred S. Wigan, Presque Isle, 537 bushels. Fifth prize, Delano Moore, Presque Isle, 523 bushels. The foregoing mention of the word barrels in the 1886 issue of Agriculture in Maine was the first observation of the use of that word while reviewing these books. These books were published generally each year beginning in 1856. The first barrels used in Aroostook, it is said, were those in which fertilizer had been shipped into the area. The farmers used also flour, sugar, and fish barrels. Then, as barrels were used to ship starch, the cooper's trade made them for both starch shipments and the farmer's use. In 1891, a law was passed to establish the standard weight of a barrel of potatoes at 165 pounds. Indications are that bags were used at one time. A comment made in 1886 was that potatoes will usually scar and lose their fresh, inviting appearance if tumbled into bags or barrels in the field and out again at the market. Other cultural problems facing the potato farm were the potato disease, late blight, of which control was still an uncertainty, scab, and the Colorado beetle, which first appeared in Maine in 1876. Scab was considered a product of high civilization, as it was not found on virgin lands. The beetle was controlled by plaster, most of which was ground from rock obtained from Plaster Rock, New Brunswick, and Paris Green. Commenting on control of the beetle, Barnes said, "There are a few people who have tried taking off the beetles with their fingers rather than use the Paris Green, but in a little while they get tired of that kind of work and take Paris Green." Acreage and production had continued to increase, and the definite future of the potato in Maine, particularly Aroostook, was established. With the increase in acreage and production, farmers shifted from hand labor and oxen to horsepower when and where it was possible and feasible. Planting and digging continued to be done by hand, but plowing, harrowing, hilling, and hauling were done with horses. Beginning in the decade of the 1880s, many machines were brought into the county by demand of the farmers. Early in the decade, sulky plows and wheel cultivators were used by some, and some of the first planters appeared, the Evans, the Robbins, and later the Aspinwall, as well as the Pruin digger. A satisfactory digger seemed to be the greatest machinery need as production increased. One type of digger, advertised in 1858 as R. L. Allen's New Potato Digger, was described as simply a double moldboard plow, the boards being shoal and but little curved and slit longitudinally so as to allow the earth thrown up to sift more or less through the openings. It is light, weighing only 85 pounds, of light draft and simple in its construction, and with a pair of horses or oxen and a boy to drive, will dig potatoes as fast as 20 men can pick them up, turning them out so clean that not one bushel in 50 is left uncovered. The standard is so high as to allow it to work well without clogging from weeds or potato tops, and will work on all soils, side hills, or among stones and stumps. It is also recommended as a cultivator and a weeding plow. The price is $10. This new digger, and others developed in the next score years, were used but little, if at all, in Maine. In 1869, Secretary Gilbert said, "It would seem that so simple an operation as digging potatoes could be mostly performed by horsepower. Implements have been constructed for this purpose, but have proved little, if any, advantage over the process of hand-powered digging." Barnes of Holton, while speaking before the Board of Agriculture in 1886, said, "Every machine that is manufactured for digging potatoes by horsepower is brought to us up there, but the perfect digger has not come. Our machine for digging potatoes is the Madawaska Frenchman and his wife and children. And when they will dig, sort, and put in potatoes at 10 cents a barrel, we calculate that as cheap enough. My potatoes were all dug by one man and three children, the oldest 7 years old and the others coming along in order. After 1890, however, a horse-drawn, traction-drive potato digger, the Hoover digger, became widely accepted. At first, farmers of Aroostook were quite conservative and somewhat prejudiced against the use of these newfangled machines, said Edward Wigan of Maysville. But laterly, this has been almost wholly removed, and they are now fully abreast of the most progressive ideas in this respect. A few tractors were used in Aroostook prior to World War I, although most were not too powerful. As John Erskine of Presque Isle remembered, they worked all right as long as you weren't going uphill. As tractors improved, several other pieces of farm machinery used in conjunction with tractors improved also. Nevertheless, the Hoover, horse or tractor drawn, remained the prominent digger for about a quarter of a century. Then the snows and freezing rains of the fall of 1925 prompted much greater use of the engine-driven diggers in Aroostook, even though a few had been tried previously. 4 or 5 years later, another step was taken, and power takeoff diggers made their first appearance in the county. In addition to the changes in machinery, potato varieties changed through the years. Few people have ever heard of bygone varieties such as Pink Eye, Cowhorn, Irish Buckster, White Blue Nose, Long Red, and Shenango. From 1900 until the late 1930s, when Green Mountains began showing great susceptibility to net necrosis, this variety, Green Mountain, was of greatest importance in this area. In 1928-1930, nearly four-fifths of the acreage of the average total potato crop was composed of the Green Mountain variety. The Katahdin variety, which later became most prominent, was introduced to Aroostook in 1932. Among other advancements made through the years in the production aspect of the potato industry in Maine have been those related to fertilization, soil conservation practices, disease and insect control, and cultivation techniques. With these advancements, the annual production of potatoes in Aroostook has increased tenfold since the turn of the century to over 60 million bushels. Yields per acre have increased to around 400 bushels. Aroostook now has about 90% of the state's potato acreage and produces about 95% of the Maine potato crop. Maine supplies about 13% of the United States crop. Yet, Maine, which was a leader in potato production, lagged in changing potato handling practices. Generally, Idaho, Nebraska, and Colorado were among the first to start making changes in handling potatoes. They, being a long way from market, their freight rates are comparatively higher, and so they have to do something better to get into the eastern market. Many Maine shippers, even with comparatively lower freight rates, seem to possess that Yankee conservatism which makes them resistant to changes and thus use many machines and methods of questionable efficiency. Potatoes were first grown in Aroostook County as a garden vegetable and were used primarily for family consumption and as livestock feed. George H. Collins, in his History of Aroostook, published in 1922, states, "It was about 45 years ago, which would be 1870 to 1880, that the potato began to be a recognized factor in the business and industrial life of the county. Aroostook's great career as a potato-producing section, in the course of which it has risen from obscurity to the distinction of being the foremost county in the United States in the value of its agricultural products, was when the peculiar adaptability of its soil for raising potatoes for starch was discovered. At first, the discovery did not go very deep. It was superficial, and the extent of it was merely that Aroostook was a promising region in which to plant potatoes. Starch factories were built at a number of points in the county, and the owners contracted by acres potatoes to be ground for starch. Aroostook shortly became and has remained the nation's principal area for the production of this product. As Aroostook increased its production to include potatoes for shipment as table stock, frost-proof storage houses were built, the first being at a siding in Presque Isle. These began to be a measure of the industry. Quoting Francis Barnes, Southern Aroostook's representative to the Maine Board of Agriculture, a few statements of the present situation, 1886, in Houlton will illustrate the point. There are 8 large frost-proof receiving houses at the railway. These are open the 1st of September and continue so well into June following. In all of them, one man is kept constantly employed, sometimes 2. Now the industry is faced with such questions as, is it best to market in fall or keep till spring? Shall we sell here or shall we consign them to a commission merchant? How much advance should we receive on the fall price if we keep them over until spring? Potatoes are selling today in the market for 62 cents per bushel. How much would they bring next spring or summer in order that the holder meet no loss in the operation? Movement of potatoes within the trackside storage houses at first was strictly a manual operation. Bins were filled by rolling barrels up a plank which rested on the potatoes already dumped. Vertical movement was accomplished by rolling barrels on a plank from one level to another. Later, horsepower was put to use in this part of the industry also. With block and tackle, a horse moved forward about 7 feet to raise a barrel 15 feet to the second deck or from the basement. After some experience, most horses, as a matter of habit, walked the prescribed distance, hoisting a barrel, then backed up or turned and walked back to the starting point, lowering and empty. During cold weather, the harness was put on the horse over 1 or 2 blankets, and through the fall and part of the shipping season, manure piles beside the storage houses became higher and higher. Sizing and grading, such as it was accomplished by allowing the potatoes to roll over a rope rack. This rack consisted of several parallel ropes, properly spaced and suspended within a frame. As the potatoes rolled down the inclined rope rack, the small ones would drop through and the culls were picked out. The product was then dumped in a railroad car for shipment. It was not until the last decade of the 19th century that the handling of potatoes came to be considered as important an aspect as the production. The markets wanted Maine potatoes. They were in demand all along the eastern seaboard. Interest in putting out a better product was aroused. In 1893, F.H. Moores of Pittston, near Gardner, gave a talk on marketing potatoes and said, "Many of our potatoes are spoiled in getting to the market. In the first place, they dump them into vessels or freight cars, walk over them and shovel them over and spoil the potatoes before they get to market. And usually such potatoes are not sold as Maine potatoes. The potatoes that do come to Boston in good shape are Maine potatoes, no matter where they come from. Now, potatoes taken from the field and dried off carefully, handled as carefully as you would handle apples, put up in barrels or boxes, and put into our large markets that way without being bruised, are in just as good shape as when they came from the field. they will actually be 25 to 55 cents more on every bushel than when they are sent in bulk in vessels to be walked over and spoiled. A.I. Brown, a market gardener from Belfast, commented, "Our produce of every kind should be put before the public so that it will attract attention and favorable comment. In short, we should offer a good article displayed to good advantage, but honestly. Then we have a right to demand good prices. For open market and grocery retail trade, I know of nothing better than the bushel boxes for potatoes. A box 18 by 18 by 6.5 inches inside measure will hold about a bushel. Such a box made on the farm will cost but a few cents and is of convenient form. When potatoes are gathered in the field and displayed in market in one of these boxes, they are always seen at their best." A.W. Harris, president of the State College at Orono in the 1890s, remarked in an address to the Board of Agriculture, "Before I came to Maine, I knew the reputation of Maine potatoes. In the city of Washington, if we were sure we had Maine potatoes, we were always willing to pay a little more for them than for any other kind. I fear it was very hard to make us confident that we were getting Maine potatoes. I've wondered, without attempting to carry out my ideas to particular details, whether there might not be some way in which, in this state, you could not bring about cooperation in the sale of potatoes, possibly following in general the plan which Florida people have in regard to oranges. I am informed that there is a Board of Trade which passes certain rules for trading the oranges in regard to size, quality, and so forth, so that when the oranges have once been crated, they are marked with a certain grade, so that oranges that go out of the state may be relied upon for excellence in certain particulars. We might devise a certain standard in regard to Maine potatoes, so that people outside the state may purchase Maine potatoes with certainty, so that they may determine from the packages in which the potatoes are packed just exactly what the size and quality ought to be." The branches of the Canadian Pacific Railway, which had been extended into Aroostook, facilitated the expansion of the industry. But because of the long circuitous route through a foreign country to Boston, much interest was felt toward an Aroostook Railroad with a direct route to Bangor. With the 1890s came the long-desired Bangor and Aroostook Railroad. Between 1891 and 1895, the railroad was built from Brownville to Caribou, with branches to Fort Fairfield and Ashland. In 1899, it was extended from Caribou to Van Buren, and in 1902, the loop was completed when Van Buren was connected to Ashland by way of Madawaska and Fort Kent. With a more direct route to market, further intensity of potato production in Aroostook was stimulated. In 1901, about 6 million bushels of potatoes were produced in the county, an increase of 2.5 million bushels over that of 10 years before. The horse-drawn digging machine accomplished the feat of harvesting the increased acreage quite well, but something was needed to speed the handling operation after harvest. One of the first steps in this direction was the introduction of a chain sizer. A continuous wire mesh belt was carried by 2 wooden rolls, permitting all potatoes below a given size, as determined by the size of the mesh, to drop through. These early chain sizers were hand-powered. However, little advancement was made in handling methods or equipment until World War I and after. During the war, farmers and shippers took advantage of the increased demand, and practically every potato they had was shipped to market. It was during this period that grades were first issued by the government to ensure a standardized product on the market. Potatoes were the first product for which federal grades were established. It was not until 1921 that the state of Maine set up state standards, and in 1922, Maine joined the federal government in a cooperative agreement with an inspection extended to the shipping points. Thus, the Federal State Inspection Service in Maine started with the standard grades of U.S. number 1 and U.S. number 2. The maximum tolerance of grade defective potatoes in these standards was established at 6%, and this figure had not changed until recently here in the 1970s. In the 20s, electricity was put to use in potato houses. More than 10 years after it was brought to the central Aroostook area from Tinker Dam in 1907. Chain sizers and barrel hoists were the first pieces of electrically powered equipment used in handling potatoes. The horse and the manure piles gradually disappeared from the storage area. Prior to 1924, potatoes were shipped in bulk, largely in common boxcars, which were lined with paper as a protection against frost, and equipped with stoves by the shipper. This method was not satisfactory, and the refrigerator car, or reefer, came into use. About the same time, shippers started to use 165-pound burlap bags for shipment. Many were used Brazilian coffee sacks. Later, the 150-pound bag came into use, again, coffee sacks. Then the 120-pound, or two-bushel bag, and the 100-pound sack. There was quite a bit of resistance to use the 100-pound sacks, even though potatoes began to be sold on a hundredweight basis, and many shippers wanted to revert to the 150-pound bag. However, market demands eventually called for smaller units, and in the late 20s and early 30s, bag size dropped from the 100-pound sacks to 50, 15, and 10-pound bags. A new tie was introduced with these consumer-sized paper bags, the wire tie. About 1925, roller-type grading tables and rubber pintle roll brushers were introduced, making better grading of the potatoes possible. In the mid-30s, the first roll sizers were brought into use. The introduction of these sizers, consisting of a series of scallop rolls, which could be set to size the potatoes fairly accurately, was the first attempt to offer the consumer a pack of potatoes of uniform size. Prior to 1935, only two grades had been added to the original U.S. standards. They were U.S. Commercial, which came in 1925, and U.S. Fancy. But with sizing, consumers were offered two new State of Maine grades, Super Spuds and Chef Specials. Very few changes occurred in handling equipment and methods between the mid-30s and World War II. During the war, which created a manpower shortage, barrel loaders on trucks and conveying and elevating equipment were introduced. Elevating by inclined conveyor had not gained much prominence before use of a vertical elevator was conceived, and the first one was erected at the Aroostook Farm Experimental Station in 1950. Also in that year, the first automatic bag tying machine was used. During 1953 and 54, polyethylene bags, automatic weighing bagging machines, expanding roll type sizers, and washing machines were tried and put into use. More advancement and changes in handling potatoes were made between 1949 and 1954 than in any prior 5-year period. A History of Potatoes in Aroostook County.